Hello and welcome to June's installment of Lulu's List. I'm Seuss, also known as Lulu Lawrence, and this podcast is where I talk about what I enjoyed about all the fics I have read in the last month, and sometimes I talk a little about my own fics I've posted as well. You can find me on Tumblr and AO3 as Lulu Lawrence, on Twitter as LuluLawrence1D, and on Ko-fi, where I do my best to share updates and snippets of my current works in progress, at www.ko-fi.com/LuluLawrence. I feel like I tend to read about 12 to 15 fics a month these days, but this month I read about 3 very lengthy fics for me. They're probably not so lengthy for others, but for me they are, so because of that, there are only 8 fics on the list this month. At the end of the podcast, I'll also talk a little bit about the 2 fics I posted this month and my inspiration behind them, some little fun things like that for those who are interested. So I'm excited. Let's go ahead and get started. The first fic is called Mine Would Be You by Crinkle-Eyed Boo on both Tumblr and AO3. This fic was 115,000 words long. It was rated explicit and the pairing was Harry and Louie. The summary reads, Harry blinks his eyes open, his eyelids fluttering as the room swims around him. He takes several gulps of beer once he confirms that he's definitely not hallucinating, that the very first portrait Harry Styles ever painted of him is hanging on that wall. Louis stares at the wall, his heart jackrabbiting in his chest as he realizes that there's not just one painting of him, there's 5. The portraits lined up like there's some sort of storyboard depicting the rise and fall of his deepest love, his greatest heartache. A pain that cut him so deep that he left the fucking country, severing all ties with his life in New York, now suddenly surrounding him as if he'd never left. Fucking shit, motherfucking fuck. Louis returns to New York City 5 years after he left it, and the love of his life, behind. He didn't intend to see Harry again, but fate has a funny way of pulling them together, whether they like it or not. After making a begrudging truce, they both start to wonder, would it be so bad if history repeated itself? This fic was written for the Big Bang last year. In case you couldn't tell from the summary, it is exes to lovers, and it is pretty epic when it comes to that trope. I really, really loved this fic. I loved delving into the entire world. It was so perfectly done. It's dual timelines. It's technically flashbacks. It alternates kind of like a scene, quote unquote, today, and then a scene then. And with the flashbacks, it's not always in chronological order, but the scenes were obviously very specifically chosen to match with the scenes that we saw for like the present day. And the way that she paired them together, it made it so that they all packed so much punch, because I am a sucker for fics that are written so that you're kind of watching the downfall of the previous relationship the same time that you're watching them rebuild in the current day, so that you get the ultimate pain both ways. You are just sitting there and you're so pained at the beginning in the present time because there's so much hurt and there's so much just angst from the relationship that ended. And meanwhile, you're watching them, like, you know, meet and fall in love. And it's so beautiful to kind of soothe, but also accentuate the pain of the present day, because you know that they don't end up happy forever in that earlier timeline, right? And then as you're like, oh my gosh, this could work, this could work, this could work, you're like watching them crash and burn in the previous timeline. And it's just so painful. And it's wonderful. I don't know about anybody else. I love that kind of pain. I love that angst. And Kim brings it in this. It's so much pain. I cried so many times for so many different reasons. But what I really, really loved about this fic is that, like, they weren't selfish about what happened, if that makes sense. Like, they both acknowledged what they contributed to the falling apart, and they learned and they changed. They made sure that they fixed what went wrong so that they wouldn't repeat that and have those same problems again in the future, whether it was with them or with someone else, you know? And it's just, it's so mature and it's so beautiful. And like, yes, in some ways, the way that they reacted to certain things happening was kind of extreme, but I do feel like it was fitting for their characters and for the situation they were in and just the people that they are in this fic. And it was just, it was glorious. It was so wonderful. That's literally the best way that I can summarize this fic. It's just so much pain written in such a beautiful way, and it heals you at the same time it tears you apart, but it does end up with a happy ending. Oh, it's so happy. I'm kind of starting to tear up a little bit just thinking about how happy that happy ending was. Like, it's really wonderful. It's fabulous. So if you have not read this, I feel like I was one of the last people to read it, but if you haven't read it, please do. Oh my goodness. It was so wonderful. It was a gem. The next fic I read is called The Murmur of Yearning by Media Whore Fix on Tumblr and Media Whore on AO3. It's about 93,000 words long. It is rated explicit, and the pairing is once again Harry and Louis. The summary reads, 4 years ago, Harry Styles was forced into a marriage of convenience to enrich and ally both his and his promised families. The sudden and slightly suspicious death of the Marquess of Hampshire, however, brings great disturbances to Crescent Field Hall, and as his late husband's closest male relative, Harry unexpectedly finds himself the head of a family he never felt he belonged to. Between a meddling distant cousin hell-bent on inserting himself in Harry's life, his wicked and mistrustful mother-in-law, and his late husband's advisors refusing to help or take him seriously, Harry struggles in the fight to keep what he's earned and make the estate finally feel like home. Luckily, he doesn't stand completely alone and finds himself an unlikely ally in Mr. Tomlinson, the elusive land steward who has been taking care of the property in the shadows for years. Louis Tomlinson is caring, patient, and unlike everyone else, he doesn't seem to think Harry committed a murder. Okay, so this was also written for last year's Big Bang. I believe that this was the last fic that posted with last year's Big Bang. And it was also wonderful. And it was also glorious. So this is kind of the Widow Harry fic, is what I kind of have always called it, because that's what Marie called it while she was working on it, and from the moment that she kind of thought up the idea. And Harry is a Marquess. Is that how you say it? Honestly, like, every time that I'm watching Jeopardy, and I want to say Marquess, that's what it looks like to me, but everybody always says Marquess, and so I assume that the people on Jeopardy know what they're talking about, and that's how you say it. So, I mean, sorry if that's incorrect. I don't know what I'm talking about with this. I've only ever read it and not had to say it out loud. Harry is the Marquess now that he's widowed, and Louis is obviously the estate steward, and there's just, oh, so much pining. So much pining. And it's strangers to friends to lovers, and there's just so much that I want to say about it, but I feel like almost all of it is spoilery. You know, what's in the summary is so real, and I kind of was waiting for certain things to blow up in poor Harry's face between his horrible, horrible mother-in-law and, like, some of his husband's advisors and closest friends and, you know, that horrible cousin. That cousin was just awful, and he drove me up a wall the entire time, and I couldn't quite seem to, you know, get my finger placed on him quite right. I just didn't trust him. But let me tell you, the way that Niall is written in this fic is just so lovely. He is so nuanced, and yet he's barely in there. Like, the role he plays is so important, and yet he has such little screen time. It's just amazing. I loved it. I loved their relationship. I loved how he showed himself to be like a true friend and like a, you know, a person with, like, his own motivations and depth. And it was just, it was so fun. And Liam, anyway, it's just a great fic. And I wasn't sure what I was expecting. I knew you know, the original idea that Marie had thought up, and then I kind of heard her talk about it a little bit as she was writing it. But I wasn't really sure what to expect of the fic itself when it comes to the storyline and the plot and the way that different things would turn out and you know, different twists and turns that it would take. And so I was just thoroughly surprised and had so much fun reading it. So I highly recommend it. I think that it was a really fun read, and it was just so intriguing to try to figure out how it would all play out and how it would end up. And it was perfect. I loved it. I was like cheering at the end. It was so great. The next fic that I read was called I Hope We Never Change by Lulu Babies 1992 on Tumblr and Lulu Baby 92 on AO3. It's about 17,000 words long. It is rated mature, and the pairing is Niall and Zane with side Harry and Louie. The summary reads: Niall Horan is a very good friend. He prides himself on his loyalty, on the fact that everyone knows he has no problem at all confiding in him, and that even the shyest and most quietest people are easily disarmed by him. Take, for example, his best friend Zayn Malik, master of brooding and king of woe is me. Or the story about how Niall finds himself caught in the middle of Harry and Louis' shenanigans that he almost fails to notice his relationship with Zayn turning into something different than what it's been for years. So this was written for the Heartbreak Weather Fic Fest, and it's based on No Judgment. And it's childhood friends to lovers, and it's, oh, there's so much pining, so much pining. Like, there's a side of matchmaker, and like there's a bit of light angst, but like there was just so much comedy as well from Harry and Louis just being complete idiots. They're just such idiots. And just Niall and Zane, oh, the way that they're written in this is just so great. Their relationship and the depth of their history, and the way that you could see that they just like, they both had this like incorrect, I think, view of what they were and what their relationship was and what they were waiting for and looking for. I don't know. It's all kind of complicated because they make it complicated when they don't need to, because that's how it goes, right? But oh gosh, the pining, and just everybody can see it in the other people, but they can't see it in themselves. Does this make sense? Oh, the way that it's written, though, you just sit there and it is just so satisfying when it all comes together for Harry and Louis, as well as for Niall and Zane. But it was just, I loved the characters. I loved the way that Niall was written. I loved the way that Zane was written. Niall almost felt a little bit like Emma Woodhouse in, you know, Jane Austen's Emma. You know, constantly setting everybody else up and getting them kind of connected to the people that they would work with, but not ever really taking the time for themselves. Yeah. It's just so good. Anyway, I really liked that one. It was a wonderful read. The next fic is called Her by Jayri on both Tumblr and AO3. It's about 7,000 words long, rated explicit, and the pairing is Harry and Louis. The summary reads: The buttery swipe of a high-quality lipstick was almost a sexual experience in and of itself. This time, a deep color with purple undertones, which drew out the emphasis of long, dark lashes and perfectly colored cheekbones. It was a look for loose and styled curls, feeling the classy formal nightclub vibes reflected back from the mirror. The silky plum-colored slip dress would be perfect to debut. The tags still needed to be cut free from the new garment that hung in the closet, but tonight was the night to set it free. When Harry gets home, she can finally be who she wants to be. Letting someone else in always feels like a distant daydream to her, until suddenly it isn't. So this was written for the Fine Line Fic Fest and is based on She. There's trans characters. Obviously, Harry is trans in this, but also there's another one, and I will not specify who because that is spoilery. It's just it's so surprising and lovely. It's an ABO fic, so it's Alpha Harry and Alpha Louie and their co-workers. And in quarantine, Harry starts to transition to H. but only when not working. So every day, Harry wakes up and he dresses and shaves and goes to work. And then at night, he kind of goes to the back and H comes out and she's able to be herself and really let herself free and be comfortable and be happy and explore who exactly she is. And she starts transitioning without even realizing that that's what's happening. And it's really beautiful. Just these little steps, you know, these moments of exploration to try to see like how she feels if she goes and delves a little bit further into who she feels she is. And, you know, really finding who she is and exploring that a little bit, you know, so that she can really see like, okay, this isn't just what I think. This really is who I am. And it's really beautiful to be able to see that coming out and how she allows H to come out a little bit more with work as she's able to, because of the quarantine situation. It's so unique and it's so cool to be able to see her kind of gaining confidence a little bit, even though the situation is very wrought with tension because of the fact that if she were to come out, it could be potentially dangerous. And so it's a really great fic, and I highly recommend it because of the way that it's just all explored and handled. Like, and Jenna does a wonderful job. So I loved it. I now want to kind of go back and read it again because it was just so interesting and it's so good. Okay, the next fic that I read was the last of the long fics for this month anyway. It's called Forever Is in Your Eyes by So-Y-Let-Your-Voice-Be-Tamed. So why let your voice be tamed on Tumblr, and we are the same on AO3. It's about 126,000 words long. It is rated mature and the pairing is Harry and Louis. The summary reads, Harry looks fragile in the moonlight and Louis stands there pondering, not even sure what it is that he's thinking of. It's all just noise in his head. A mix of melancholy and desire, of longing for something that he doesn't even have a name for. He wants love. He wants to be held and cherished and have a home. Not just a place to lay his head down at night. He wants to be loved the way that Louis had loved creating Harry. He wants his perfect man, but he wants him to be real. He wants Harry to be real. His lips press against marble, against something cold and unforgiving, and it's not until his hand comes up to rest against a sculpted neck that his eyes fly open and he stumbles backwards, nearly falling off the stepladder that he'd stood on. Jesus Christ, he whispers, shaking his head and resisting the urge to brush back the back of his hand against his lips, erase evidence that isn't even visible to the naked eye. Harry stands there, as though nothing's changed, and of course he does, because he's a statue. A statue that Louis has just kissed. So this was the first fic to post for the Big Bang Fest this year. And it's Sculptor Louis and Statue Harry. And I'll be honest, there's a lot of mythology that's referenced in here and that's kind of retold, I guess, summarized in a way that like you can see where the parallels were being drawn for Louis as he's trying to figure out the whole situation. But I went into this not kind of really knowing much what I was going to be getting into because I will be absolutely honest with you, and mythology is one of those things that I always thought was interesting, but I could never bring, I just, every time that I try to sit down and actually learn more, I just cannot focus. So the fact that there's all this stuff referenced, like inspired by Pygmalion and Galatea, I don't even know if I'm saying that correctly. I'm so sorry if I'm butchering it. It looks like they're both Greek. Greek mythological stories. And there's like oracles and all these things that are referenced. And I mean, I've heard of Pygmalion, but I don't really know what exactly that means when when in, it's in connection to a story, because I just don't, I don't know these things. And so I went into this not really knowing where it was going to go. I was like, okay, so it's Statue Harry and Sculptor Louis, and he kisses a sculpture. And so I just kind of, in my head, I was like, how does somebody write 126,000 words about of a story where, like, he's literally just a statue that Louis has made and falls in love with? And how do you fall in love with just, like, a statue? Like, I can understand kind of, you know, believing that you're putting a personality onto a statue and things like that. But, like, I was just trying to figure out where exactly Mia was going to be taking this. And for the rest of you who actually know the story of Pygmalion, I'm sure that you're sitting here laughing at me right now, because in Pygmalion, the statue comes to life. And now suddenly things make sense, right? But the way that Mia set it up so that Louis was just so lonely and he was so longing for someone to love. And then here comes Harry, his perfect man that he sculpted. And he is his perfect man. And he's come to life. But he's still a statue. He's a statue and he's not fully alive, but he's, like, animated and he's speaking and thinking for himself to an extent. And it's just, it is fascinating, the journey that she takes us on with this. So the whole thing is about, like, trying to figure out how it happened and why it happened. And after a certain point, how to help Harry become, like, human and be actually alive and be able to live. And so this whole journey that they go on and trying to study and delve into different, you know, legends and myths and things, and they find all these different stories and things that sound like they could help and maybe not. And the way that the other like guys are brought in is so fun. It's just so fun. I love Liam and Zane as Louis's best friends. Like, well, technically Zane is the best friend and Liam is his fiance. But, like, their characters are so beautifully fleshed out, and, like, their relationship and Zane at the end, oh my goodness, you just want to squeeze him. You love him so much. Like, he is amazing, and the way that he loves and supports Louis is just so beautiful. And same with Liam in his own way, the way that he is there and just, ugh, I can't even, like, I don't want to give anything away, but it's just beautiful. And the Nile and the way that he she weaves an incredible story, and it is, once again, so painful. And you're just sitting there like, how in the world is this going to work out? How is this going to happen? It seems impossible, and yet it can all come together, and it does. And, oh, but at what cost? Because that's the other question in this story, is what is the cost? Like, yes, you can get what you want, but what's the cost? You look at Pygmalion, and, like, yes, he has the woman, he gets the statue to come to life and she's his perfect woman, but at what cost, you know? And it's just, it's very good. And it's one of those that, like, I finished it was about a week ago, I feel like I finished, and I'm still thinking about it. I've read, like, 3 fics since then, and I'm still thinking about it. Can you tell I'm at a loss for words? It was just so good. And I want to say so much, but I don't want to give anything away. So just, yeah. The moral of the story with this fic list this month is, if you don't normally read long fics like me, these are 3 long fics that you should invest the time in if you feel like you're up for it, because they are absolutely worth it. And then you can come and talk to me about it, because I love to talk about fic. All right, the next story is called It's Been So Long by LC-B on Tumblr and LC_B on AO3. The fic is about 31,000 words long. It is rated teen, and the pairing is Harry and Louis. The summary reads, Harry Styles' first crush was one of his sister's best friends, a certain someone named Louis Tomlinson. And Louis? He just vaguely remembers Gemma's younger brother from back in the day. A lot can change in 10 years. Featuring Niall and Liam as Harry's friends, flirting, fluff, and flashbacks to the awkward days of high school. Okay, so this was also part of Big Bang Fest from this year, and it's an American AU, it's childhood friends to lovers. In a way, it's more like high school acquaintances to 10 years later becoming friends to lovers. I love a good 10 years later fic, and this was just so perfect. I feel like I'd been reading these really long and kind of emotionally heavy fics, and they were great, and I love them. Like, I love that kind of fic. But with everything going on in my life right now, I also really needed something light and fluffy and just soft. And this was it. And it was perfect. It was just what I needed last week. Last week was hard. And this fic was like a hug. Oh, it was exactly what I needed. It was glorious to be able to lay down at night and read some of this and just feel like I was getting wrapped up in these boys and their discovery of each other. And the little flashback scenes were so much fun because just kind of, it's really interesting actually because it's similarly done structurally to, I don't know, what's the title? Mine Would Be You. Structurally, it's very similar because it has, a little bit from the current day and then it has a flashback. And with those flashbacks and those current day scenes, there is always some little detail that's kind of similar that's tying it together. Like, it's really beautiful because it's subtle and yet it's also very clear what's happening. Oh no, the cat is taking over my computer. So yeah, it was such a fun read, and the flashbacks were so cute, and the way that they added depth to everything was just a lot of fun. I really appreciated that. And like I said, it really was just kind of like a warm hug. So if you're needing a fic that's just soft and cute, and like I kept waiting for things to fall apart and for, just everything to get difficult and oh sad, and it didn't. And I just so appreciated that. It was just a really sweet fic. Okay, next. Okay, this is a long title. So the next fic is called Blah Blah Blah. There's a Moment Where You Know You're Fucked by Mercurial-Madhouse on Tumblr and Mercurial-Madhouse or writing underscore practice on AO3. This fic is about 3,000 words long. It's rated mature and the pairing is Harry and Louis. The summary reads, "Anyone impulsive enough to betray their country is either foolish or overly confident. Louis's too cunning for the former, so his inflated ego tips precariously close to the edge between pride and hubris. In sum, he may be an expert, as proven by the 32 caliber Beretta alley cat Harry found strapped to his back, but ex-agent Louis Tomlinson will explode like a busted bullet misfiring in a broken gun barrel if Harry can find his trigger. Or the spy AU, in which Harry thinks he's prepared to meet Louis, only to find he's not." So it's a spy AU. They are absolutely enemies to lovers. Well, I mean, I assume they become lovers. We don't really know. But Louis has defected from the agency and Harry has caught him, but it's taken years. There's all of this unresolved sexual tension and it's so good. And Louis is just like teasing and taunting Harry, and Harry's just constantly sussing out more information about who Louis is and like what his boundaries are. And it's this constant push and pull, and both of them thinking they're completely in control, and neither of them is. And Louis gives information that just throws Harry off kilter a little bit, but he can't tell if he's like, he can't tell if Louis's just saying it to try to get him on his side or if he's legit, right? But like he thinks he's just saying it to get Harry on his side. And so M creates this world that is just glorious and it's wonderful and it's just like draws you in. And then she cuts it off with absolutely no resolution and no hints as to what's happening in the future and no idea as to how anything plays out. And it's very rude, is what it is. It's so rude. But it's so good. So anyway, this is my vocal petition to M to please continue. If possible, I would love you forever, or at least give me headcanons as to what happens, you know, with a few details thrown in there so that I can just kind of make up a story on my own or something. But I would just greatly appreciate it. She just has this really great skill where she gives you, it's very much just like in Medeus Res, where you're just going through and you're thrown right into it. And then you're thrown right out of it. It's a very quick snapshot of what's happening. And it's so great because it draws you right in and then you get kicked out because it's over and it's very sad. But I highly recommend it. It is just wonderful. Okay, so the next fic, which I believe is the last one that I have read this month, is When the Dust Settles, Will We Be All Right? Once again by Mercurial Madhouse. This fic is also about 3,000 words long, also rated mature, and is once again the pairing of Harry and Louis. The summary reads, Harry closes the distance between them until the inebriating scent from the newly presented Omega nearly overwhelms him. Learning to balance both genders with their pheromones yet to settle, those who've just presented have the strongest scents. In this world, Louis' scent is a death sentence. They both know that they're racing fate, luck, and time now. A ficlet in honor of the brilliant prompt, male Omegas are practically extinct. Most were eradicated due to their magical abilities, leaving alphas to fear and envy them as they declare a civil war. A few hundred years have passed. Louis is a late bloomer, waiting to present as a beta. Things don't go as planned. So in this one, it's Alpha Harry and, like, brand newly presented Omega Louis. Louis is a late presentation. It sounds like, I believe from the world building, that most people present around 16, and you're considered a late bloomer if you present at 18. Louis has hit the age of 20, figures that he's just not presenting, you know, or that he'll be a beta. And then all of a sudden he goes into, well, he doesn't go into heat, but he presents as Omega one day, and it's just like total surprise. So he's dealing with his late presentation, with the fact that he is a super incredibly rare male Omega, the fact that Omegas are basically killed in their world, that he's trying, like, he works in as part of basically like an underground railroad to smuggle out Omegas from their world to save them. And yet now he's an Omega, and then, like, it sounds like he's maybe suffering from a bit of, like, touch deprivation. That was my understanding of what it is. Because he's newly presented and he's, like, not allowed himself near any of the crew, any of the people, so he's not gotten enough touch, and so he's, like, struggling with that too. And then there's this pining. Oh my gosh, there's this, once again, this unresolved sexual tension is so strong, and Harry is just longing to help him and to care for him and to touch him. And then, like, oh, they give in for like a second and they both are just like, oh my gosh, yes this is right, this is it. But then, like, Louis pushes him away again, and it's just like, oh my gosh, the pain, the pining, oh my gosh, I love it. Oh, it's so great. I love friends to lovers, you guys. Friends to lovers with all the pining, like, that is my shit. So anyway, this was just glorious. But once again, she just ends it, and there's no resolution, and there's no clue as to how it's going to happen or if everybody's going to be okay. And so you just have to, like, tell yourself late at night as you're rocking in bed, yes, everything's okay. I'm just kidding. I'm not, like, being that dramatic. But, like, she just writes this beautiful opening for the rest of the fic, and then there's no more fic. That's it. She says it's complete, and it's just very rude. So anyway, I love it. It's glorious. But go into both of these short fics with the understanding that you will not get anything resolved. You will end up with more questions than answers, and you'll probably love every moment of it because she just completely wraps you into her own little world, and it's great. So those are the fics that I read this month. And now I am going to talk about the two fics I posted for this month. My first fic was called A Sleep Story Just For You. It's about 7,000 words long. The pairing is Harry and Louis. It is not rated, and it was posted for the Winker's Day Fic Fest. The summary reads, The Trans-Siberian Railroad by Harry Styles. Louis pouted a little. He wished that some of the names he actually recognized and he knew he could fall asleep to were available for free, but maybe this hairy guy was better than the woman with the grating, condescending tone. When Louis clicked on the image for the story, there was a bit of a pause, and then a deep voice came through the speakers on his phone. Holy shit. Louis's eyes went wide as a chill ran down his spine. This man's voice was glorious. It was a rich baritone that Louis wanted to have whispering in his ear while they did dirty, dirty things together. Louis paused. Maybe that was what he needed. Or four times Louis uses the call map to help him get to sleep, and one time he doesn't need to. So this story came about as an idea because there was a post on Tumblr, and I don't even know if I could find it right now, but in this post it was talking about how what if Louis were to like fall in love with Harry through the Calm app, like Harry the Calm app employee who reads multiple sleep stories and all this stuff, and Louis falls in love with him through the app, you know, just listening to his stories and his voice and everything else. And I was just like, oh, this could be fun. And so I was like, what exactly could I do with this? Is there a way that I could make this for Wanker's Day? And somebody was like, yeah, he could wank to the voice. And I was just like, oh my gosh. And it would be like conditioning. And then he meets Harry in a cafe. What would that be like? It would be so funny. And so I just kind of took it and ran with it. And it's borderline crackfic, I feel like. I just wanted to see if I could participate in the Wanker's Fest. The Wanker's Day Fest, and not write any smut, because I just don't do that anymore. And I wanted to see if I could do it. It felt like a fun challenge. And so that's what I came up with. And it was so much fun. And it was so ridiculous and silly. And I just really enjoyed it. And I'm actually in the midst of writing an epilogue, kind of a part two, to the fic, to kind of let people see what happens after this. So kind of fun. I enjoyed writing it a lot. I hope that everybody who has read it or will read it enjoys it and thinks that it was just as ridiculous and silly as I did. The other fic that I posted is called Maybe You'll Like Me the Way I Am, and it's about 56,000 words long. It is not rated. The pairing again is Harry and Louis. And it was posted for the 1D ABO Fest. The summary reads, Harry stood on his doorstep, waving a little as he shuffled his feet. Hi, I brought you some cookies. Louis finally realized Harry was holding a plate with at least a dozen chocolate chip cookies. How'd you know chocolate chip was my favorite? Harry scrunched his nose. They're actually peanut butter chocolate chunks, so I really hope you don't have a peanut allergy. There's a lot of peanut butter and chocolate in these, but also I just hope that was something you liked, because I actually have a favor to ask. When Louis's alpha neighbor asks him to pretend to be his omega for a week, Louis immediately says no. He has too much he's dealing with on his own, and he swore to himself he'd never get that close to an alpha again. Unable to hold to that resolve once guilt sets in, Louis finds that maybe fumbling his way through a fake relationship for a week was exactly what he needed to finally be able to move on. So, this fic. I love this fic. it grew to be a monster. 56,000 words. I claimed this prompt because it sounded like a really fun and fluffy prompt. It had been a while since I had written an Omega Louis fic, and this one just felt like a fun, fluffy Omega Louis fic that I could probably write in about 12,000 words. And that was exactly what I was wanting when I claimed it. And so I claimed it, and I was like, great, let's do it. Fake relationship, ABO, this will be so much fun. I don't think I've written anything quite like this before. And I could not work on the fic immediately. I had like, I think three fics that I needed to write first or finish writing first. And so it was months before I was able to start writing this. And during those months, I ran across a post that was just a whole bunch of people telling stories about how sometimes men are just trash. And in these particular stories, it was about how like women would go through and support their husbands or partners through all sorts of these serious illnesses, and they would stay there, and the chance of divorce happening when it's the man in the relationship who is afflicted is just ridiculously low compared to the rate of divorce when it's the woman in the relationship who's going through a serious health concern. And all these people were sharing stories about how they or their mothers or sisters or friends or whoever were going had gone through serious health issues, and their male partners had broken up with them or divorced them over it, and like in severe and horrific ways. And one of the ways was that a woman was in the ICU connected to all sorts of machinery, and her daughter was there when the text came in from her partner of like 3 years or something, who texted a breakup saying that he was too young to deal with this. And the man was like 56 years old. And his partner was still connected to tubes and unconscious, and leaving her daughter to have to like communicate with her mom that like, hey, the guy's a douche, like he dropped you. And so I read this and I was just like, oh my gosh, that's horrible. But imagine the fic, you know, where like they're the one who is connected and broken up with, and now they've got to like, you know, move on. And so I was trying to convince somebody else to write it. And then I was like, wait, what if that's Omega Louie's backstory? What if he had this really horrible dick of an ex and he swore off alphas, and all of a sudden his alpha neighbor is like trying to convince him to be, you know, pretend to be his Omega. And I was like, that adds a kind of fun spin to it, because that explains why he's really fighting against it a lot and not just allowing himself to go in, you know, like to really slip in and fall in love with him super easily and everything else. He's got some walls up that need torn down. That'll be great. And then like a month or two later, I was listening to the Malcolm Gladwell podcast, Revisionist History, which I'm kind of obsessed with. And he told a story that was fascinating. And it involved, it was just this story that was just so sad, because there was no winner in this story. Everybody lost. Everybody ended up, like there was no happy ending for anyone, because you look at it and at first glance it's fairly cut and dry. You just assume it was racism and all this other stuff, and as you delve in further and you learn more about it, you realize that's not what this particular case was at all. And it's just, oh, it's so sad. And for whatever reason I decided to load some PTSD and anxiety and all that good stuff on top of the major health concern and the dick ex and all this other stuff. So poor Louis, he's dealing with a lot. And meanwhile, there's just sweet Harry and his family who are there just trying to live their lives and have Harry pretend that Louis is his Omega. And I just, with that as the background, I realized that, yeah, this story was not going to be 12,000 words, but I still thought it was only going to be like maybe 30, and then it was almost double that. But I just am so happy with the way this turned out. I tried so hard to make sure that I was handling all these situations with, you know, sensitivity, and make sure that I was showing that, like, he really had done the best that he could to get through it and to, you know, be stronger, and that therapy, it helps, but it doesn't just automatically fix things, and that it takes years. Like, the fic takes place 7 years down the line from when all of the really, like, trauma, really bad trauma happened with Louis, and he's still dealing with the ramifications and the effects of it all. But he's, you know, effectively gone through 7 years of therapy and, you know, medical assistance and all this other stuff. And so, like, he's doing really well considering, but there's still scars. And it was just a lot of fun to kind of explore him as a character and try to make sure that I was still treating everything with the sensitivity and the care that it required. And it was actually really cathartic for me to be able to write about those kinds of panic attacks and things that are connected with PTSD. It was really healing for me. It was something that I didn't realize that I needed to kind of put that aspect of my own experience into a character and write about it in this way. It just was a fic that became so much more and emotionally so much closer to me than I ever expected it to be. And so I'm so happy with how it turned out. I was so scared to put it out there, but, the response has been amazing. So thank you to everybody who has read it and has taken the time to comment and let me know that you did like it, because I was very worried and concerned about a lot of things with this fic and whether people would, whether I wrote it in a way that people could understand and know that I did it with the most care that I could, while still being true to the emotions. And I think that I achieved that based on feedback so far. So thank you so much for everybody who helped me feel a little bit better about that, because I really do love this fic. So yeah, if you give it a chance, I hope that you enjoy it and you like it, but please do make sure that you read the triggers and that you take care of yourself, because there is some heavy stuff. As you can tell from my description of it, there's a lot of heavy topics that are handled in the fic, but I tried to do it in a way that didn't feel too heavy, because I tried to intersperse it with the light and happy stuff, and I tried to space it out so that it was down the line many years, so that we weren't dealing with a fresh trauma. We're just dealing with the effects and the ramifications that you would still be dealing with later on as he's continuing to heal. It was very much focused on the healing aspect, or at least I tried to have it be that way. So yeah, and that is all for me this month. Thank you so much for joining me. Once again, this is Lulu's List, and thank you for joining me for June. I will be back again in July with some more fics to talk to you about, so I'm excited. I hope that you have a great rest of your month, and happy reading. Don't forget to leave comments and kudos for your authors. Thanks.